Scripture lesson is Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Deuteronomy chapter 26. And it shall be, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possesses it, and dwelleth therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and shall say unto him, I profess this day unto you, the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sweareth unto our fathers for it to give us. And that the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when he cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on to our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched hand, and with great terribleness, and with signs and with wonders. And he hath brought us into this place, and has given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruit of the land which thou, O God, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God has given unto thee and unto thine house, thou and the Levites and the stranger that is amongst you. Amen and amen. I want to talk about what's in the basket. What's in the basket? This is a biblical account of the children of Israel. They have been journeying from Egypt for 40 years. They had been in slavery in Egypt for over 300 years, and they had been praying and crying out to God for God to deliver them. Finally, God heard their prayer, sent them Moses. Moses go before Pharaoh, and he leads the people of Israel out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, across the wilderness, and 40 years later, now they are positioned to go into the promised land. And Moses is giving them some last minute instructions, because he knows that he's not going to be able to make it across the promised land. So he says to them, when you get into the promised land, remember how God brought you. Remember how God kept you. Remember how you got here. Remember how your ancestors prayed and prayed and prayed and asked for deliverance. And when you get over into that land where everything is going great, where you have milk and honey, where you live in houses that you did not build, where you have everything that's going straight. I want when you farm and you make your grapes and you make whatever crops that you raise, you grow oranges and you grow apples and you grow grapes and you grow all of the fat of the land, all of the cattle and the sheep, and whatever it is that makes you rich, I want you to bring the first fruit and give it to God. How many of you know that we are leftover Christians? We don't give. God gives us, let me see if I can paint this picture. God gives us 10 apples, beautiful apples. Beautiful red apples. And so God says, When you come into your kingdom, when you have your 10 apples, I want you to bring one of your best red apples and give it to me. What do? We bring him the core. After we've eaten everything, we bring him the core, the leftovers that he are, Jesus. And then you know what we'll do? We'll come to church and shout and run and jump and talk about how good God is and how much we love him. And God says, hold your praise. You're not ready to praise me yet because I'm looking at what you do, not what you say. Ah, look at somebody, Jackson. You preaching, boy. Stay right there. Don't you move, Jackson. Don't expect no amen, but you are preaching. God says, I don't want your leftovers. I want your first fruit. If you love me, bring me your first fruit. You say, well, Lord, because God knew that we would be stingy. God knew that he needed to tell us what to give. He didn't leave it to us to decide how good he's been to us. He said, I got to help these folk out. I got to remind them that they were slaves down in Egypt land. I got to remind them it was me who brought them across the Red Sea. I got to remind them that it was me who drowned Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea. I got to remind them that it was me that provided food out in the wilderness and water to drink. I got to remind them how good I have been to them. And just so that I can remind them, I'm going to tell them, bring me the first fruits. When you think about how good I have been, that I provided the sun and the rain, and I provided whatever it was needed for the fruit to grow in the first place. When you remember that if it had not been for me, you wouldn't even have no fruit. I told this story once before. I remember when our kids were smaller. Back then, we could take them to McDonald's and they'd be happy. Not anymore. But I remember taking the kids to McDonald's. I don't know, Michael or Mona, whichever. Maybe both of them. And we'd buy whatever, the Happy Meal, whatever it is they wanted. And I'd sit there and say, well, can I have some French fries? Can I have one of your French fries? And he said, no! You can't have none of my French fries. And I was like, boy, don't you remember I paid for it? Don't you remember that if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have no French fries? Don't you remember that if it was, boy, I got enough money, I could make you swimming French fries if I wanted to. That's just the way we are when we start bringing our leftovers to God and God says, give me 10% of everything I've given you. We start complaining and saying, Lord, I ain't going to give you 10%. God says, don't you know that if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have the help to have that little job that you have? Don't you know if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have that little few pennies that you got? You ain't seen nothing yet of what I can give you if you just trust me and be obedient and give back to me a thank offering. Give me thanks. And don't just go into church hollering and hooping, talking about how much I thank you and be stingy. I know your heart. And you know what? We got a whole lot of church folk who come to church. I did a little research. They said that most church folk give 2% of their income. 2%. That means they're robbing God of what? 8. And if that wasn't bad enough, they say 30 to 40% of church folk don't give nothing. They're leeches. In Jesus' name, I'm a leech. They're always looking for something and they don't even want to give a praise. God says, you're robbing me with your tithes and your offering. God says, I want first fruits. When you think about what I brought you out of, somebody say, you don't know what he brought me out of. Everybody here looking like you're looking like you're saved and full of the Holy Ghost right now, but you ain't always been saved. You've been in some stuff.
And if it had not been for the Lord, you just didn't get caught. And if you got caught, don't nobody in here know about it. Keep it in the closet, Jesus. But he brought you out of something. He brought you out of drugs. He brought you out of a bad relationship. Do I have a witness? He brought you out of difficulty. He brought you out of a bad mortgage. He brought you out of a messed up mind. He set you free from the bondage that bound you on yesterday. And somebody in here ought to say, God, I give you a thank offering. I just want to thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I don't care what nobody, I want to thank you. One of those songwriters, I don't know who it was, how much I owe. I don't know. You know that song, How Much I Owe? And we said, well, no, I owe him 10%. No, you owe him 100%. He just asked for what? But we owe him all. How many of you know he is 100% God? How many of you know he's God in the wintertime and the summertime? He's 100%. And he says, give me 10%. Send somebody to the store for the second service, and I want them to bring me 10 apples so people can get this thing in their minds. Because some people are picture people. 10 apples, and put 10 apples in a basket down there, and I'm going to eat one of them in worship. And then I'm going to put the core in the offering plate, the leftovers. Somebody needs to see a picture of our stinginess and how greedy we are, talking about the biggest loser. That's why we're so fat, because we're taking it ourselves when we ought to be giving it to Jesus. I know somebody said, now there you go, messing. I'm not talking about nobody, really, I'm not. It just snuck up on me right there. It just seemed appropriate. But I'm not messing. Please, take it back. Let me take it back. No. What I want to talk about is the first fruit. God deserved the best and the first. I think our ancestors had it right. I remember, you know, people talk about Mount Olive today, you know. Say we're the silk stocking church. Can't go there unless you have some suit. We're bougie. And that's what they say about us. But we've learned it from our parents. We thought that we were supposed to give God our best. We thought that when we went into the presence of the Most High God, we ought to come with the best we had. That's what I thought. That's the way I was taught. That's the way my father and grandparents taught me. God deserves your best. You won't take your meek to the club. At least if you got one, wear it to church. In Jesus' name. I don't think God is mad at us because we have a nice car. I don't think he minds you having a nice suit. I don't even think he minds you going on vacation. Unless you're going on his money. If you give him your tithe, get the car. If you give him the tithe, buy the meat. If you give him the tithe, go to San Juan. But if you're stingy and you're riding on God's money, I hope you have 2 flat tires. And if you're stingy, I hope you get snowed in San Juan and have to pay for 2 extra days when you don't have the money. If you're stingy, if you're living high on God's money, something is wrong with that. Old Preacher Jackson. God wants the first fruits. He wants you to write out your tithe before you pay your mortgage. Before you pay those credit cards. In fact, if you do that, we wouldn't have a whole lot of credit. Because we decide that I can't afford that because I got to give God my tithe. what we do, we pay off everything, pay off the car note. Somebody was telling me the other day, I got this new car. It's a preacher friend of mine. He said, I got this new car. I'm going to take you away. I got this car. It's a nice car. He says, not new, but it's nice. And I went over and looked at the car. Man, that thing was bad. I mean, it really got into that male kind of spirit that I have every now and then when I look at the, and you look at the dashboard, it looked like a 747. I mean, everything would light up in that joker. It was clean and pretty. And he said, well, I'll take you. He said, I only paid $20,000. He says, I'm still in my payments that I had on the last car that I had. But I got it for 72 months. I said, man, that's a mortgage. I told the man, I like my $250 a month payment. It's just fine. I don't want to drive to California. I want to fly. I don't need no car to drive to California. I'm more blessed than that, man. I fly. I just need a little car to get me around town. My ego and who I am is not based on what car I drive. I'm God's child if I got no car. I'm not putting anybody down. If they got a car, don't misunderstand me. I like it. I love to get in your ride. I love it. Sometimes I got to be, what's the word? I got to be purged from my desires. I like the car. I just don't want the payment. Somebody said, well, yeah. The church buy you a car. I don't need you to buy me a car. Give me a salary. I do what I want with it. Maybe I don't need no car. Maybe I just want to fly to Africa. I can't drive to Africa. How many of you know I like to fly? You want to do something for me? Know my heart. Get me a ticket. Somebody said, are you going to be one of them preachers? You with an airplane, we want to get you an airplane. I said, and then one of my members said, you know, she's not here now, Minister Stokes. She used to work out there, that Falcon Jet. Something. She came in one day. She said, Pastor, you know, all these preachers, you know, they're getting airplanes here. I got you one. She gave me a little toy airplane. It's up in my office right now. I said, you don't need to give me an airplane. Just give me a ticket. It doesn't even have to be first class. Get me in coach. We get there at the same time. I don't need no first, first class is good, but just get me coach. I can remember a time when I couldn't even afford coach. I can remember a time when I didn't even have a color TV, didn't even have a TV, but the Lord's been good to me when I think about where he brought me from as a child in South Carolina and a sharecropper's grandson and going to a segregated school and how he's opened up doors for me since I've been here at Mount Olive Baptist Church. I cannot afford to be stingy. I owe it all to him. I give him my first fruit before I do any of that other stuff. I give him my first fruit. I don't need an airplane. I just need opportunity. God wants your first fruits. Just think about how we're going to make this budget. Those of you who didn't make the church meeting, we're going to have in a few weeks, a vision casting Sunday. I'm going to talk about our vision, what we want to do, and how you translate this $1,013,000 budget into dreams. The budget's got to be more than numbers on a paper. It's got to be dreams. It's got to be how lives are changing, how lives are transforming, how children get Christian education, and how we mold young boys and young girls, and how we open our doors so people can feel restored and renewed. Budget is more than numbers. Amen. And we got to cast a vision about what we're going to do to the glory of God. It's more than this building. Oh, God, it's a pretty building, but there's some much more pretty buildings than Mount Olive Baptist Church. It's more than bricks and mortars. It's programs. It's ministry. It's why it's important to give your first fruits to God. It's why God don't want your leftovers. I mean, I like leftovers sometimes, but God wants your first meal.
had a feeling that if God came and checked the basket, where that offering basket is, back there somewhere, God looked in that basket today, there would be a bunch of cores. You know, I ate the whole apple and threw in a rotten core. And worse yet, there would be people in here right now, sitting in here with money in their pockets and didn't give a dime. There'd be people in here right now that can't wait to run down to the corner store to buy a lotto ticket and didn't give God one single dime. There'd be people in here right now who will go to the convenience store and buy a pack of cigarettes and won't give God a dime and talk about, well, I just didn't have it. God will never judge you for what you don't have. But when you sit in here on his money and go out there and blow it on a pack of cigarettes, or you go to the club and you're going to set somebody up. You ain't got enough money to set somebody up if you're stingy with God. Oh, preach Jackson. But here's the good news. Whatever you used to do, you still got time to change. Next week when you sit down at your table, next week when you get ready to write out your envelope, and if you have not been given anything, don't you dare come in here and be a leech on God every single Sunday. And be the first one to criticize the ministry. The first one to talk about Jackson. The first one to talk about Mount Olive. The first one to scandalize the name of the church that's trying to minister to people in Jesus Christ. You don't have, you got nerve. Give him your first fruits. Look at somebody and say, I ain't got much, but Lord, here's my first. My first fruits. Lord, I'm glad you didn't leave it to me. I'm glad you didn't leave it to me to decide how much I was going to give. Because if you left it to me, I would be one of them two percenters. And I thought about preaching. You know, I thought about, you know, in this budget, in this tough time, I thought about, well, you know, if we can just get people to give 3%. I think I said that at the joint board meeting not long. If I get people to give 3%. And then I thought about it and said, Jackson, that's your problem. God didn't say nothing about no 3%ers. He said something about 10%ers. You just preach my word. You just tell them what I said. Don't you go around trying to make it easy for people. You go around trying to stretch their faith because I'm a 10% God. I'm a 100% God. I can provide for all of their needs. Forgive me, God, for short changing Jesus. So I boldly walk and look you right in your eyes and say, he wants your 10%, and he didn't want leftover, he wanted now. Because his mercy is good now. His grace is good now. He says, you want more, but I can't trust you with a little bit I gave you. You want more? Start acting like you want more. Give me thanks. Give me a thank offering.